This is Smart Tech, episode 1501. Facebook copyright hoax goes viral. Hello and welcome to the Onion version of Smart Tech. I am your host, Chuck Minear, and let me start off by getting something off of my chest, all right? You might want to turn down the volume here. All right, I'm done. It has happened again, folks. If you are a Facebook user, all kinds of, I'm going to say the word crap, okay? C-R-A-P. All kinds of stuff goes through Facebook, comes up on Facebook. And what amazes me is how easily people fall for stuff on Facebook. If it's on the internet, it must be true, right? Drives me crazy. Folks, people are liars. They're liars outside of the internet. They're liars in the internet. The thing about the internet, it just lets you go much bigger in your lie. You get to spread it faster. And when a lie hits a level where people are downloading it and repeating it all over again, over and over and over again, it becomes what we call viral. And so I'm talking about this one as it maybe an example of other hoaxes that you might not fall for. Check things out. And the other thing, since I'm on this rant today, this is the Smart Tech rant. Since I'm on a rant today, the other thing that drives me crazy is when people gossip online. They take something that they've heard of, somebody posts something, a picture of something or whatever, and they just go ahead and hit that reply, repeat, repost button, and they share it with their friends without checking it out. It doesn't show much about our integrity as individual human beings when we just blatantly repeat things we've heard without checking them out. Newspapers get in trouble for this all the time, and they should. The general rule of newspapers is to have multiple sources that have been checked, although newspapers and news agencies get into the most trouble when they print things just from hearsay or from one source, and especially if the source isn't very reliable. So here's the latest hoax. Now, if you are not a Facebook user, you might want to listen anyway, because now you can mock all the Facebook users in your life. And if you are a Facebook user and you've fallen for this hoax, then you know what? I'm sorry. But I don't know how you read this thing and then just and think that it might be true. I don't know. So here is the one of the versions that we get. In fact, this started, as far as I know, back in 2012, kind of June-ish 2012. It went away, and like many hoaxes and stories and things like that, it has come back in 2015. So here we go. In response to the new Facebook guidelines, I hereby declare that my copyright is attached to all of my personal details, illustrations, comics, paintings, professional photos and videos, etc., as a result of the Berner Convention. For commercial use of the above, my written consent is needed at all times. Anyone reading this can copy this text and paste it onto their Facebook wall. This will place them under protection of copyright laws. By the present communique, I notify Facebook that it is strictly forbidden to disclose, copy, distribute, disseminate, or take any other action against me on the basis of this profile and or its contents. The aforementioned prohibited actions also apply to employees, students, agents, and or staff under Facebook's direction or control. The content of this profile is private and confidential information. The violation of my privacy is punished by law. And then they put this UCC 111-308- blah, 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 and the Rome Statute. Facebook is now an open capital entity. All members are recommended to publish a notice like this. Or if you prefer, you may copy and paste this version. If you do not publish a statement at least once, you will be tacitly allowing the use of elements such as your photos as well as the information contained in your profile status update. Sounds very ominous. I love this. You know, I used to own a Bernese Mountain Dog, also called a Burner. That is at the Bernese Mountain Dog Convention. The Bernese Mountain Dogs got together and decided we're going to form a convention and write some rules. There's no such thing as the Burner Convention. I mean, just look that up. There was a convention in Bern, which is an international agreement governing copyright, which first was accepted in Bern, Switzerland in 1886, but there is no Berner Convention. So just amazing to me, all right, that people read this. So many of my friends, people who will probably stop listening to the program now because I've given them a hard time, have publishers, they'll say, well, it's worth a try, or I'm not sure if this is real, but I'm doing it just in case, you know. Totally amazing. So what are the rules with Facebook? I mean, you know, there's no, like I said, there's no Burner Convention, and there is a Bern Convention. So make sure you get your conventions straight. Well, there, like I said, there might have been a Burner Convention, and they ate a lot of dog food. So I looked at the Facebook Terms of Service and their fact page. Now, Facebook Terms of Service are what you, is the legal document you agree to. When you sign up for Facebook, especially for a free service such as Facebook, they don't charge you anything. They have a Terms of Service. And when you start using their service, you agree to that Terms of Service, at least tacitly, because, you know, most of us don't read the whole Terms of Service. We just click OK. But it is inaccurate to say that Facebook owns the copyright to your posts. You own what you say on the posts. Facebook has a fact page, as I said, and we looked at that. And one of the facts states, do I retain the copyright and other legal rights to material I upload to Facebook? And Facebook says, yes, you retain the copyright to your content. When you upload your content, you grant us a license to use and display the content. Facebook's data usage policy specifically says that the social network has a non-exclusive, transferable, sub-licensable, royalty-free worldwide license to use any IP content that you post on or in connection with Facebook. Okay? They have a right because they own the space. Even though you own the copyright, you, by posting it on Facebook, whatever it is, you give up your right to earn money from that content. That's all they're saying. And you grant them a license, even if you post the Burner Convention stuff up, you grant them a license to display your content. They have to use your content or they can't display it. I mean, if you click on the Facebook website and it's in your feed and you see somebody posted something, Facebook obviously takes, let's say, a photograph. They put it on their servers and they republish that onto other people's feeds. That's what Facebook is. And so to say, you don't have the right to use my picture unless you get my written permission. And they go, well, we kind of do have your written permission because you clicked, I agree to the terms of service. So if you're concerned about the copyright of something you post on Facebook, delete it. Because the terms of service for Facebook says that once you delete it, Facebook can't use it anymore unless it's been shared by your friends. Now, once your friends share it, it's on their feeds. Facebook doesn't have a control anymore of how many times they get copied. Now, if you post something on Facebook and then your friend shares that post, links to that post, if that post is gone, then when your friend clicks, when somebody clicks on your friend's link, it'll just say it's not here anymore. But what people typically do is they don't just hit the share button. They copy the picture and paste it themselves. And once they do that, they've made a copy of the photo. It is no longer linked to the original photo. Now, I do that quite often. If I've got a post and it's a really good post of something, but it's linked to all this advertising. You know, if my friends click on it, it's going to, you know, give them a bunch of advertisement, and I just want them to see the picture. I don't particularly want them to see the advertisement. I will copy the photo or the saying or highlight the part I want, and I will paste it into my feed. Is that, you know, totally legit? I don't know. I didn't ask anybody, but I'll do that because if they click on that text or picture that I've copied and posted, then they won't have a problem of having it link back. It's no longer connected anymore to the original post, and so it won't link back. And so once that happens, hey, it's out there, folks. And so that's what you need to remember, that Facebook reserves the right, because you have taken your photos, your words, your location, any of that stuff, and you have given it to them of your own free will. You've gotten on your device, you've posted it using your internet connection to their service. When you do that, it gives them the right to use that. What does it mean to use that? Well, pretty much anything they want. They can't own it, but they can use it. And using it usually means on Facebook, I'm going to repost it, or I'm going to put up something, hey, your friend just said this, or whatever. Anytime you see a feed from somebody else, Facebook is using that picture, that saying, that post, and they are reposting it. They're copying it and putting it somewhere else. So it's just hilarious to me. There's a couple other hoaxes that are on Facebook. One of them was this one claimed that on January 4th, due to a long-awaited planetary alignment, that you will feel weightless for a short period of time, and because the planets are going to align a certain way. And they took a screenshot of NASA's Twitter account, and they manipulated it so it looked real. And it went viral. And then the other one that I love every so often is, Facebook is going to start charging a monthly fee, and people get all up in arms about that. And that's what's funny to me. It's like, well, they own it. I mean, you know, I enjoy the fact that I can use Facebook to connect to my friends and I don't have to pay. But if they start charging, they certainly have a right to charge. I have a right not to pay it. A couple other things. One is, remember that there is nothing on the internet that is free. You always pay one way or the other. Sometimes you pay with cash. It is a subscription service, or you pay for something like your internet service provider. You want to connect to the internet from your home. You pay the phone company or some other company to come in and give you a connection to the internet. And you pay a monthly fee. Okay, you're paying for that. There are no ads involved in that. I mean, you know, if you use, I use Charter is my provider at this point. I'm not using my internet, and all of a sudden an ad pops up on my screen from Charter. Okay. I pay quite a bit a month and they just provide me a service. They don't advertise on that service or that medium, unless I'm, you know, looking at cable TV or something, but the pure data service does not have any ads. Go to Google, for example, and Google is free. Almost everything on Google is free. It works really well, and a lot of people use it. I mean, you get free space on Google. You can have a great calendar system on Google. You have a good search engine on Google. You have a great mail system. Gmail's probably one of the best email systems in the world, but you pay for that. And the way that you pay for that is there are ads on the screen. There are things they want you to click on, and it collects data about you. Although Gmail and other mail services, I love how other mail services, oh, Gmail's so bad, they do this, but everybody does it. They look at trends. So they'll analyze your email. They'll see what kind of things you're writing. They promise, and who knows if they do or not, read your emails in context. You know, what is this about? But they look for words and phrases that are used often. And then they will target advertisements at you that are specifically to the type of thing that you interact with. And I'm sure you've seen that on the internet where you go, you do a Google search, and all of a sudden you go to another website. Even a week later, you go to another website, and over on the right, that website might have some ads that pop up, and you'll all of a sudden see the things that you searched for on Amazon or on Google. All of a sudden, they're coming up in the feed over on the right or at the bottom, or a pop-up screen, you know, kind of like, I hear you're looking for a camera. What about this one? And you're going, how do you know I'm looking for a camera? Well, the reason is because these free sites and pay sites like Amazon track your searches, and then they try to customize your experience on the internet. A lot of people are really, really up in arms about that. They hate the fact that they're being looked at online. Well, get over it, folks. You are being looked at, and you need to realize that nothing you put out on the internet, nothing is private. Even though you have things that are encrypted, that should be private, someone somewhere has to be able to decrypt that to be able to make it something you can use. And so somebody can see your information somewhere. So the best bit of advice I can give you is to surf safely. And if there's something you really never, ever want to get out into the world, that can't absolutely get out into the world, then never, ever put it on a computer hooked to the internet. Because somehow that information will be on a server somewhere. And the only trick is, can somebody get that information? Some of us, we really don't have a whole lot to hide. And so it's okay that a portion of our information has a potential to be public. But not everybody's like that, and not everybody feels like that. The most hilarious discussions I hear are, you know, how we've lost our privacy, or you know, how do we keep our privacy? And the answer is, ladies and gentlemen, in this day and age, one does not. All you can do is mitigate the damage, control the damage. And so you do that with apps such as 1Password, which I recommend over and over and over again to you, where you can create long, hard passwords to break. You can sync them to your devices, and you can go to secure websites that have unique passwords all over the internet. The worst thing you can do is create 1Password that you use everywhere, a particular password that you use on all your websites. Because once somebody cracks that, then they're going to keep that, and they're going to start hitting all of your websites trying to say, I wonder if they have an account here. Okay, well, let me put in that login information. So 1Password lets you create unique login information and passwords for each website you go to. The other thing is to look on your browser and make sure that the address is secure. And the way you can tell that is the browsers have a small padlock somewhere, depending on the brand of browser, has a little padlock somewhere. Usually if the web address starts with https://, and has an S in there, that means secure, and usually you're secure. Are you 100% secure? No. You know, people can have an HTTPS address and not secure the address. But with that S, they're telling you it's secure. Whether they're lying or not is hard to know. That's why you go to websites that you trust. You know, if you're going to do your banking, it's through your bank website and not some other website. Or if somebody writes you an email and says, we're American Express, click here to log into your account and find out why you're being sued or whatever. Don't click there. Never click there. Go to the American, if it's American Express, for example, go to the American Express website, the website you know, log into your account through their secure portal there, and then see if there's a message. And if there isn't, then you report it as somebody trying to get into your account. So there's a few safe things. But folks, don't believe everything you see and hear on the internet. It's just a bunch of people who now have bully pulpits. They can, when people who used to lie, would affect people locally and around them. Now, when people lie, they affect the world because their lie can be spread around the world. And there are people who get their kicks out of seeing how many people they can fool and trick and get them to give over their information. If you're going to use social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, go to those websites, look at the terms of service, or even easier, do a Google search on the terms of service for these and see what other people have written. There's other people who have done the work. They've read through the stuff and they know what's there and what isn't. And they'll tell you if Facebook's doing something. Like when Facebook changed some of their terms of service a while ago, and they do that quite often, there were people who were just aghast at it. I read the information and thought, well, I don't really particularly like that, but it's not that big of a deal. And so I decided to keep using Facebook. I know other people, some pretty prominent technology people, who canceled their Facebook account. They just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't like it. I'll tell you what, most of those people that I know of, Leah Laporte being one of them, who canceled his Facebook account, has gone back and reopened it because it's the way they do business. And so there's some privacy and data issues that you're going to give up using those. And there's no law that says you have to use them. So don't. The other thing that you can do is remember that there are services on the internet that you can pay for. They're not usually very cheap, but you can pay for certain services that are secure, like email. There are email companies that you pay for the email, and the email just goes to their server, is encrypted to their server, and it's not searchable by Google and other companies. So that might be something that you need to do. There are companies like large corporations, like law offices and such, that have their own email server. They encrypt everything on their own server, send it out, and then it's unencrypted at the other end. And so that those are much more difficult things to set up and to keep going, and they're much more expensive. I, as a normal consumer, am not interested in those things. So I guess in that case, I'm going to, you know, write a letter and put it in an envelope and mail it to somebody or fax it to somebody or whatever, and not use my regular email account. So ladies and gentlemen, don't be fooled. How do I not be fooled? Well, let me give you two websites that I use quite often. The most popular is Snopes.com, S-N-O-P-E-S. A lot of people use that site. It's good for checking out urban legends. Go there, see what other people say, and see if it's true. The other one that I like even better is called truthorfiction.com. I think Truth or Fiction is more unbiased than Snopes. Snopes is just run by a couple. It is they have their own biases, but you know, a lot of people rely on it, at least for a guideline. I go to both of them. I look at Truth or Fiction. I do a little bit of a search. Those of you who've been around radio in the Los Angeles area know of a gentleman named Rich Bueller. He did a show called Talk from the Heart. He's a Christian man and wrote some relationship books and whatever. But he was a radio personality in the LA area for a while. And he's the one who started truthorfiction.com. So I like him, even though he's passed away, the organization keeps going. I like him. I like his, I like the values that he has, and I trust him. So if there's something I have to look up on Snopes and I'm not really sure, I'll go to truthorfiction.com and look things up there. So take an extra second or at least a minute and go to one of those websites and check it out before you start either panicking or gossiping or spreading more viral things on the internet, because it gets to the point where you can't trust anything, right? Because everything's hype. So if you want to know about those websites or any other information I've talked about, I'll put a copy of the hoax there on the website. Just go to our website, www.smarttech.tv. over on the right-hand side of Smart Tech, you will see a place that says Get Updates. Fill in your name and email address. And speaking of honesty and integrity, we will not sell or give away or release your email addresses. But what we do is we do send out a periodic newsletter, which tells you of the new fun happenings on Smart Tech. Down below that, there's an iTunes link. If you're an iTunes user, you can subscribe to our podcast and it'll automatically download to your iTunes feed every time we publish. There's also some buttons on there. Let me explain them really quick. There's one that says Stitcher. Stitcher is a radio network, lots of podcasts on that network. They have their own app you can download, and you can subscribe to us on Stitcher and some other fun things too. So if you're not an iTunes user, you're a Windows user, try using Stitcher. It's absolutely free and it works great. If you just have a podcatcher, our RSS feed is there. You can copy and paste that. You can also click and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can like us on our Facebook page, and you can look at our Pinterest page, all from our website. And of course, like always, we love to hear your comments. What do you think about my ranting? Do you want me to do more ranting? Maybe Smart Tech should be a total rant every time I publish. Does that drive you crazy? Are you not going to listen to me anymore? Well, at least tell me about it. Go on our website, www.smarttech.tv. Click on the episode that you're interested in. This one's 1501. And down below, you can leave a comment. And I will answer your comments on the air. And there's also a place to leave a voice comment. And if you like that, then you can actually do that. And we may use your voice may end up on a very well listened to podcast. That would be us. So all of those things are available on our website, and we invite you to go and visit and glean information, because we love it when people get information. And we love if you'd share the Smart Tech news. I mean, you know, we grow because of word of mouth. We do a lot of other things. We're on, you know, social media, all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you where people listen to us is when someone else on their Facebook page says, hey, go listen to this. It's kind of interesting. And our job is to make your life better through technology and through knowledge, technology and knowledge. So once again, for those of you who are not sick of hearing it yet, our web address, www.smarttech.tv. Thanks again for listening. I really enjoy it. And don't get fooled by Facebook, all right? Until next time, this is your host, Chuck Minear, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.